So, I was mentioning that in order to be an effective spokesman for God, there were three things. Those are not the only three, there are others, but I thought of three that I should mention. And first of all, we mentioned that there must be a recognition that is a very serious responsibility to be a spokesman for God, to speak as God. See, nowadays there are so many people who say, thus said the Lord. Particularly in Pentecostal charismatic circles, interpretation of tongues and all is thus said the Lord. And we also can sometimes very lightly say, God told me this and God told me that. No, it's true, God speaks. But we mustn't say it lightly. You know, one of the great chapters for preachers is Jeremiah 23. Just like a great chapter for shepherds, Ezekiel 34. These are two chapters that you should read. Ezekiel 34 for shepherds, Jeremiah 23 for preachers. And see what he says here in Jeremiah 23, in verse 2. This is what God says to the shepherds. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. You have not attended to them. And in verse 9, the Lord says, as for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. And Jeremiah is experiencing that. He says, I've become like a drunken man. Jeremiah says that because the Lord and because of His holy words. And there's a lack of purity among the preachers because there's adultery in their minds. And I have found their wickedness in my house. It says here in verse 11. And further down in verse 17. No, the Lord says in verse 16, don't listen to the words of these prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you to futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination and not from the mouth of the Lord. And this is so true of a lot of preaching today. Because they say to those who despise the Lord, you will have peace. And for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his heart, calamity will not come on you. So as the Message Bible says, their sermon is, everything will turn out okay. They make up their messages. And their sermons are, nothing bad will ever happen to you. That's their message. That nothing bad will ever happen to you. Even though people are living according to their own will. Then he says, verse 18, have any of these prophets bothered to come and meet with me, the true God? To absorb what I say, to listen and live out my word first. Then he says in verse 21, I never sent these prophets, but they ran anyway. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. If only they had bothered to sit down and meet with me, they would have preached my message to my people. Then my people would have gotten back on the right track. But instead, they tell lies to each other. Verse 25. I had a dream, they prophesy. So how long do I have to put up with all this? They exchange dreams with each other, it says in verse 27, and try to distract my people. And then in verse 30, the Lord says, I'm sick and tired of these prophets who get all their sermons second hand from others. They make up the stuff and say, this is what God is saying. There's a lot of this going on today. I never authorized even one of these prophets, verse 32, but, and they do nothing for this people. And verse 33 onwards, 34, if anyone goes around lightly saying God's message, I'll punish him and his family. And then he says further down in verse 36 and 37, in the Message Bible it says, don't go around saying God told me this, God told me that. I don't want to hear that anymore. Only the person I authorize speaks for me. And further down in verse 38, don't pretend that you know all the answers. And stop all this, God told me this, God told me that type of talk. You know, a lot of people try to get some authority by saying, God told me this. Does God speak? He certainly does. But I'll tell you one thing. God is never boring. God is never judgmental on his people.
And
he doesn't scold. And very often we have all failed in all these things. I just went through that chapter to show you how seriously God takes those who take his name and preach something. And we saw the importance of our being careful with our tongue. See, another area, the third one which I want to mention now, it doesn't look as if it's got any connection with preaching. But our faithfulness in the use of material things is one of the important areas that determines whether God gives us the true riches. See, I see the true riches as revelation on God's word. Partaking of God's own nature. And fulfilling an anointed ministry. Those are about the greatest riches we can get. To get revelation on God's word and His will.
And
to partake of His own nature. And to have an anointed ministry so that we really accomplish something on this earth before we leave. What is greater riches than that? All the money you can make on earth is nothing compared to that. All the comfortable life you can live on earth is nothing compared to these. See, it's only if you value these things. Let me say, Lord, how can I have these true riches? And the Lord says in Luke 16, in verse 11, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? So there you see the connection between God giving us true riches and our being faithful with money. Somebody once calculated that 1/6 of all the verses that Jesus spoke referred to money. That's a very high percentage.
That's
about 16% of everything Jesus spoke related to money. And he wasn't telling us how to be prosperous like today's preaching. But most of the time he spoke about being faithful with money. And it's not just money. Mammon means all material things. Now in the great wisdom of God, He has not given us all equal amounts of money. He has not given us all equal amounts of intelligence. He has not given us equal amount of spiritual gifts. Grace, all of us can have according to the measure in which we humble ourselves. So the important things, the really important eternal things, all of us can have as much as we fulfill the conditions. But other things God determines. For example, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's very clearly written in 1 Corinthians 12, God gives it as He chooses. And if at all there is one gift, we are all told to ask for, it is a gift of prophecy. That is to proclaim God's word in a way that will bless other people. Everybody can ask for that gift. Not necessarily from a pulpit. We can, like I said, speak words of encouragement to people. That's a word of, that's like prophecy. That doesn't mean you'll be a prophet. All are not prophets. 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear. But all can prophesy. That's like saying, all are not evangelists, but all are to be witnesses for Christ. Even if you're not an evangelist, you still got to be a witness, tell others, somebody the gospel. In the same way, all may not be teachers, but all can share something of God's word with other people. So, all are not called to be prophets, but all can prophesy. And all can receive grace, depending on how much they humble themselves. All can progress in likeness to Christ equally. All can be overcomers. But when it comes to them, certain other things which are not so important, God has not given all equal. Some are good looking, some are not good looking.
Some
are very intelligent, some are not intelligent. God in His great wisdom has made people of different colors. Given people different abilities to earn money. And some have more and some have less. Some people, the circle is very big. That means their income is very big or their wealth is very big. Some people is very small. But whether it's small or big, God wants us to be faithful with the material things we have. Now to be faithful, here it says if you're not faithful with mammon, how can you get true riches? So therefore, when God gives us earthly things, He's actually testing us. Now we don't have to become fanatics and legalists and keep condemning ourselves.
See,
religious people tend to go to an extreme. You know, where some people think faithfulness means I can't buy an ice cream because that's not necessary. Or I can't have 3 shirts because only 2 is enough. You know, or maybe I should have only 1 bedroom in my house or something like that. There's so many things like this. People tend to become fanatics.
So,
I want to say it's got nothing to do with that. God is not checking up how many shirts and pants you have. Or how many rooms there are in your house. That's not the point. I mean, God's a loving Father. He leaves you free to choose all that. But He sees basically what is your attitude to these things. What is your attitude? Are you faithful in the use of these things? Do you recognize they all belong to God? You know, a man can live in a very small hut and be a very carnal person. And a man can be a very wealthy man and be very faithful. So, it's unfortunately among Christians we think that if you're poor you're spiritual, if you're rich you're unspiritual. Just look, examine your own self perhaps. See, it's obviously some of you brothers earn very little. What is your definition of poverty? If I were to ask you, are you a rich man? You say, no, I'm a poor man. See, there's something in human nature which always likes to pretend that we are very poor. If we were to ask the people who live in the slums of Bangalore, they'll say, what poor people? You're all rich people. But your definition of poor means what you earn. That's poor. But if you go to the slum person, he'll say, you're rich. So you see, this matter of poor and rich is a relative thing. But we have this tendency to think anybody who has got more than me is rich. If you don't get delivered from that attitude, you will destroy yourself. Anybody who is more than you is not rich. You yourself may be 10 times richer than the poor people in India. In fact, my guess is that even the poorest brother sitting in our midst is richer than 50% of India. If you are richer than 50% of people in India, how can you say you are a poor person? So, we should get that out of our head. That I am poor and somebody else is rich. You be satisfied with the circle God has given you, and if God gives you opportunity to expand it, expand it. Because you know, faithfulness does not mean what you own. Some people think we must always live in a rented house. We must not buy any property. Well, that's fine. If that's your conviction, you should live like that. But we must not judge other people. But it is in this area of material things that believers judge other people the most. You see, for example, so many believers who don't wear ornaments judge other sisters who wear ornaments. See, the God's word says, don't wear any gold. And look, you're allowing your little daughter to wear gold. How much does that ornament earring cost, which that girl is wearing? I don't know. I've never bought these things, so I don't know what its price is. Maybe 1,000 rupees, is it? Or 2,000 rupees? But you who criticize that girl for wearing earring, you spend 20,000 rupees on your bathroom fittings in your house. But you say, Peter doesn't say don't have expensive bathroom fittings. You go to the plumbing shop and there are various types of taps. Why do you choose that little more expensive tap? When you choose to put flooring in your house, why you choose that particular flooring instead of ordinary cement flooring? Because Peter didn't speak about mosaic or spartic or marble or any such thing. I am just trying to show you the amount of legalism there is in our midst.
And
all who are judgmental are legalists. We tend to think, I'm alright. If you live at my level, you're a wholehearted brother. If you spend more than me on your house, you are a rich man. Not on your house. If you wear more expensive clothes than mine, you are a rich man. I have a scooter. If you have a car, you're a rich man. The chap who has a car says, I am a poor man, but if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you're definitely a rich man. The chap who has Mercedes says, I am a poor man. It's this guy with 3 Mercedes, he's the rich man. And you go to the chap in the slums, he says, a whole lot of you are rich. What are you talking? I don't even have a cycle, he says. Do you see how this is all relative? Now, The brother who is free from this is the brother who doesn't judge anybody. I hope you're like that. I hope you can look at a sister wearing ornaments or somebody's daughter wearing ornaments and have zero judgment.
And
always say to yourself, my bathroom fittings are more expensive than what this girl is wearing. Say that to yourself. The tiles on my floor in my house cost more than this chain this sister is wearing. You know, this is going to determine the anointing on your ministry. You be faithful with material things and leave other people alone. I'll never forget in all my life a story I heard of Francis of Assisi. Was one of the great Roman Catholic saints and lived in 11 or 1200 AD. Now some people feel that you can't be a saint if you're in the Roman Catholic Church. Because their doctrines are wrong. Because we think that right doctrine means you're spiritual. The people who had right doctrine in Jesus' time were the Pharisees. And they were not spiritual. And a lot of us who have right doctrine are Pharisees too. Some people with wrong doctrines are more acceptable to God. For example, does God listen to the prayer of a non-Christian?
So
if a Hindu man gives money to the beggar, will God see that? Does God take note of that? Let me show you an example in Acts chapter 10. A heathen man who is probably an idol worshipper, who didn't know anything about Jesus, never prayed in the name of Jesus, but he feared God, gave money to the poor people, and verse 2, prayed to God continually. Not Jehovah, not Jesus. I don't know which God, some God he prayed to. And the angel came to him and said to him, words that will shock us. Verse 4, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. I tell you, we are going to get a tremendous shock when we stand before the Lord, when we see whom all He accepts. In the day you will see so many people with the right doctrine going to hell.
And
so many people whose doctrines were a little wrong here and there in God's kingdom. They'll all be saved by the blood of Jesus. Nobody's going to be in heaven without being saved by the blood of Jesus. But it won't be on the basis of right doctrine. Anyway, Francis of Assisi was a godly man. And he had a group of people whom he who were his brothers, and they all took a vow of poverty. To be poor. They will not own anything, they will not maybe one or two pairs of clothes.
Now,
and some of his disciples were very godly men. They were very sincere. And I've heard two stories of one of his disciples called Juniper. He would every day go out and help people. And in the cold climate, And he'd always come back shivering without a coat. So what happened to your coat? I saw one poor beggar shivering there, I gave it to him. So they'd give him another coat, he'd come back without a coat the next day. So they made a rule. Juniper, you cannot give your coat to anybody. And you see, their law was not only poverty, but strict obedience also to the leader.
So,
he went and he saw another poor beggar somewhere shivering. He said, "Brother, I would like to give you my coat, but I can't. I have to obey my authority that I can't give you my coat. But while I'm standing here, you can take it off me if you like." So the beggar took it off. He came back. "You disobeyed this." "No, no, no. I never gave my coat to anybody. I stood there, one beggar took it off my..." Anyway, this man, one day he was going along the road and he saw another one of his brothers dressed a little more stylishly. And he said to himself, not one of his brothers, one of the other Catholic people in that area. And in the same church. And he said to himself, "Perhaps under his fine clothes he has got a humbler heart than I have under my simple clothes." What an attitude. That we don't judge others. I remember hearing a similar story about John Wesley. John Wesley was a great man of God who lived in the 18th century.
And
there was another great man of God at that time called George Whitefield.
But
these were wholehearted people who would preach in the open air and love Jesus. And brought hundreds to Christ. And they had their own groups of followers. But they had very strong difference on one particular doctrine. George Whitefield taught, "Once you're saved, you can never be lost." John Wesley taught, "You've got to be faithful and endure till the end if you want to be saved."
So,
but these men loved one another very much. And they respected one another. But you know, like always the case, the followers are usually more intent on a doctrine, not on God. So, when George Whitefield was getting sick, he said, "If I die, John Wesley must conduct my funeral, not one of any of my followers." Because he had more respect for John Wesley than any of his followers. Because he knew that God is not checking doctrine. So George Whitefield died. John Wesley conducted the funeral. Now a lot of John Wesley's followers said, "How can you conduct the funeral of this guy who's got all these wrong doctrines?" It's like if you are asked to conduct the funeral of some Catholic man, what will all the people in your church say?
But
you know he was a believer. Anyway, John Wesley wasn't bothered. He just went ahead and conducted the funeral.
அவர் போய் அந்த அடக்காரதனை நடத்தினார்.
So after the funeral, one of his followers asked him,
அடக்காரதனைக்கு பிறகு இவருடைய சிஷ்யர்களை ஒருவர் அவரை பார்த்து
கேட்டார், Brother John, are you going to see George Whitfield in heaven?
So that John, அவர்களை ஜார்ஜ் விட்ஃபீல்ட் நீங்கள் பரலோகத்திலே காண்பீர்களா?
John Wesley said no.
இல்லை என்று சொல்லிட்டார்.
Because he's going to be so near Jesus and I'll be so far away, I don't think I'll ever see him.
அவர் இயேசுவுக்கு வந்து அருகாமையில் இருக்க போகிறார், நானும் தூரமா இருக்க போகிறேன், நாங்கள் அவரை பார்க்க முடியாது.
That is the attitude of a man of God.
இதுதான் தேவ மனிதனுடைய ஒரு மனப்பான்மை.
That we don't judge others. And certainly not for some point of doctrine.
குறிப்பாக ஏதோ உபதேசத்தில் தவறு இருக்கிறது என்று ஞானிக்க.
There's an expression in English called dotting your I's and crossing your T's. I don't know what you say in Tamil.
உரிய ஐ என்ற எழுத்துக்கள் ஐ என்ற எழுத்துக்கெல்லாம் புள்ளி வைத்துக் கொண்டு டி என்ற எழுத்துக்கெல்லாம் நீங்கள் சுருட்டு போடு வரைவதை ஆங்கிலத்தில் ஒரு
படம் is where you seeing does he agree with me every little detail.
ஒவ்வொரு சிறு காரியத்தையும் என்னோடு ஒத்துப்போகிறார் என்று சொல்லி கமா புள்ளி எல்லாம் சுருட்டி பார்த்தது போல.
That's not the point.
அது குறிப்பல்ல.
If he is faithful with material things,
உலக பொருட்களிலே உண்மையுள்ளவராய் இருந்தால்,
that's the thing.
அதுதான் காரியம்.
Juniper, who was the disciple of John Francis of Assisi,
Francis of Assisi என்னுடைய சிஷ்யனாய் இருந்த Juniper,
he used to say,
அவர் சொல்லுவார்,
that the only reason why God gives us material things,
தேவன் நமக்கு உலக பொருளை கொடுப்பதினுடைய ஒரே காரணம்,
is that we can bless other people.
நாம மற்றவர்களை ஆசீர்வதிக்க முடியும்.
If you got a house,
வீடு இருந்தா,
you can use it for God to bless other people.
மற்றவர்களை ஆசீர்வதிக்க முடியும், அந்த வீட்டை பயன்படுத்த வேண்டும்.
God can bless you so that you can bless others.
மற்றவர்களை ஆசீர்வதிக்க முடியும், தேவனுடைய ஆசீர்வதிக்க முடியும்.
If he has given you plenty, then you can bless others with it.
நிறைவாய் தேவன் உங்களுக்கு கொடுத்திருந்தால் அனைவரையும் ஆசீர்வதிக்க முடியும்.
See, that's why I praise God that all of you brothers, you don't take any money from your local churches. There's no other group of churches like this in India. See, where everybody serves and happy to serve, we're not taking any money from our local churches. Because God's given us enough, why should we depend on other people? Let's serve them. Without taking anything in return. In area after area after area, we have to be faithful. Why do we take such a stand against dowry? Because all of this nation is after dowry. It's part of the darkness of India.
இது இந்திய தேசத்தினுடைய இருளின் ஒரு பகுதி தான்.
And in Christian churches from Catholic to Pentecostal, it's exactly the same. The same darkness in the world is in these churches. And in some churches, they get a percentage of the dowry, so how can they preach against it?
சில சபையிலே வரதட்சணை வாங்குகிறார்கள், அதற்கு தசம பாகம் அல்லது கமிஷன் வாங்குகிறார்கள், அப்படி இருந்தால் எப்படி வரதட்சணை விரோதமாக பிரசங்கிக்க முடியும்?
So we may say, well, those are not the main things. They believe in Jesus. See, I want to show you a verse in the Old Testament in this connection. In 2 Kings and chapter 19. Chapter 17, sorry. Verse 33. They feared Jehovah, but served their own gods. How do you do that? How can you fear Jehovah and serve your own gods? That means they did certain religious activities
சில மத சடங்குகளை செய்தார்கள்,
which Jehovah had commanded the Israelites to do.
இஸ்ரவேலர்களை செய்யும்படியாக யெகோவாயே கர்த்தர்
But then
சில காரியங்களை செய்தார்கள்.
They continued to serve their own gods also.
ஆனாலும் தங்கள் சொந்த தேவர்களை அவர்கள் பணிந்தார்கள்.
You see that a number of times in Israel and Judah, that they had a great devotion to the Lord, but the high places were still there.
இஸ்ரவேல் தேசத்திலேயும் யூதா தேசத்திலேயும் யெகோவாவுக்கென்று அவர்கள் பணிவிடை செய்தனாலும் உயர்ந்த மேடுகளிலே விக்கிரங்கள் இருந்தது.
Now today,
இன்றைக்கு
what is the equivalent of that?
இதற்கு சமானமான இன்னொரு காரியம் என்ன?
You know, the Lord Elijah told the people, if Jehovah is God, serve him.
யெகோவா தேவனானால் அவருக்கு சேவியுங்கள்.
If Baal is God, serve him.
பாகால் தேவனானால் அவரை சேவி பாகாலுக்கு.
Choose this day whom you want to serve.
இந்த நாளிலே யாருக்கு நீங்கள் சேவை செய்ய வேண்டும் என்று தெரிந்து கொள்ளுங்கள்.
What is the choice we put before people today?
இன்றைக்கு மக்கள் மீது நாம் வைக்கக்கூடிய அந்த இரண்டு காரியங்கள் என்ன?
So what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16.
லூக்கா 16 அதிகாரத்தில் இயேசு அதைத்தான் சொன்னார்.
It's God and money. On God and mammon.
உலக பொருள்.
Luke 16:13.
லூக்கா 16:13.
There are only two masters, he said.
இரண்டு எஜமான்கள் தான் உண்டு என்று.
Just like Elijah said, Jehovah and Baal.
எலியா சொன்னது போல யெகோவா பாகாலா.
You hate the one and love the other.
ஒன்றை வெறுத்து இன்னொன்றை நேசிப்பீர்கள்.
Now what would you think if you were living in Israel and in Elijah's time and you saw one fellow worshiping Elijah one day and worshiping Jehovah one day and Baal another day?
நீங்கள் இஸ்ரவேலில் எலியா வாழ்ந்த காலத்திலே இருக்கிறீர்கள் என்று கற்பனை செய்து கொள்ளுங்கள். ஒரு மனிதன் ஒரு நாளிலே யெகோவாவை
That means he's
தன்னுடைய சொந்த பாகாலை
சேவிக்கிறார். Really living for the Lord on Saturday.
சனிக்கிழமை உண்மையாலுமே தேவனுக்காக வாழ்கிறான்.
And Sunday he goes to the temple of Baal and worships there.
ஞாயிற்றுக்கிழமை பாகாலின் கோயிலுக்கு சென்று அங்கு பாகாலை சேவிக்கிறான்.
You'd never think that that person is a disciple of the Lord.
இந்த மனிதன் ஒரு தேவனுடைய சீஷன் என்று நீங்க எண்ணவே மாட்டீர்கள்.
But do you know the number of Christians who feel you can worship Jesus one day and worship money the other day? They are still disciples of Jesus.
ஆனால் இன்றைக்கு அநேகர் எதை நம்புகிறார்கள் என்று சொன்னால் ஒரு நாளிலே இயேசுவை சேவிக்கலாம் இன்னொரு நாளிலே பணத்தை சேவிக்கலாம் என்று சொல்றார்.
There's no difference between Jehovah and Baal and Jesus and Mammon.
இயேசுவுக்கும்
So that type of choice is exactly what people face today.
It's
the same type of contrast.
ஒரே விதமாக இரண்டுக்கும்
There it was Jehovah or Baal.
அங்கே யெகோவா
Today it is Jesus or Mammon.
இங்கே இயேசுவா உலக பொருள்
Those are not my words.
When
Jesus said there are only two masters.
இரண்டு எஜமான்கள் தான் இருக்கிறார்கள் என்று இயேசு
சொன்னார். You hate the one and love the other.
ஒருவனை பகைத்து மற்றவனை சேவி.
You are devoted to one and despise the other.
அல்லது ஒருவனை பற்றிக்கொண்டு மற்றவனை அசந்தைப்படுவான்.
You cannot serve God and wealth.
தேவனையும் உலக பொருளையும் சேவிக்க முடியாது.
He didn't say you can't have wealth. He says you can't serve.
உலக பொருள் உங்களுக்கு இருக்கக்கூடாது என்று சொல்லவில்லை. ஆனால் உலக பொருளை நீங்கள் சேவிக்க கூடாது என்று சொல்றார்.
In other words, you must say, Lord, my goal in life is not to get more and more money.
ஆண்டவரே, இந்த உலகத்திலே அதிகமாய் பணம் சம்பாதிக்க வேண்டும் என்பது என்னுடைய இலக்கு அல்ல என்று
சொல்ல. I mean, if you don't earn enough for your family, definitely you must seek to earn some more.
குடும்பத்துக்கு போதுமான பணத்தை நீங்கள் சம்பாதிக்கவில்லை என்று சொன்னால் கண்டிப்பாக அதிகமாய் பணத்தை சம்பாதிக்க வேண்டும்.
We have to feed our children and our families. We have got to clothe our families.
நம்முடைய குடும்பத்துக்கு
We need a house in which they are to live.
அவர்கள் வாழ்வதற்கு ஒரு வீடு வேண்டும்.
And we have to educate our children.
நம்ம பிள்ளைகளுக்கு படிப்பை கொடுக்க வேண்டும்.
See, that's very important in our day.
நம்முடைய நாட்டில் இது மிகவும்
Because in the olden days they were all farmers. You didn't need to be educated, just know how to plow the field.
அந்த நாட்களிலே பழைய காலத்தில் எல்லாருமே விவசாயிகளாக இருந்தார்கள். ஆகவே வயலை எப்படி உழ வேண்டும் என்று சொல்லிக் கொடுத்தால் போதும், படிப்பு அவர்களுக்கு தேவையில்லாதது.
Food, clothing and shelter.
உணவு, உடை, தங்குமிடம்.
Why do I add education today?
ஏன் இன்றைக்கு நான் இதோடு கூட சேர்த்து படிப்பையும் சேர்த்து கொடுத்து?
Because in our day,
நம்முடைய நாட்டில்
that is what determines whether our children will have food, clothing and shelter in their generation.
நம்முடைய பிள்ளைகளுக்கு அவருடைய சந்ததியிலே உணவு, உடை, உறைவிடம் இருக்கதா இல்லையா என்று இப்பொழுதுள்ள படிப்பு தான் தீர்மானிக்கிறது.
I have seen in CFC.
CFC-ல நான் பார்த்திருக்கேன்.
Number of cases.
பல
of parents who never cared to give an education to their children.
தங்களுடைய பிள்ளைகளுக்கு நல்ல படிப்பை கொடுப்பதற்கு அக்கறை எடுக்காத பெற்றோர்களை பார்த்தேன்.
They grow up, they are married and they are struggling endlessly.
அவர்கள் வளர்ந்து திருமணமாகி அவர்கள் முடிவில்லாமல் பணத்துக்காக அவர்கள் வாழ்வதற்காக போராடி கொண்டே இருக்கிறார்கள்.
People ask me, why do you encourage people in CFC to study and get the highest degree possible?
CFC-ல ஏன் நன்றாக படிக்க வேண்டும், நல்ல பட்டங்களை முடிந்த அளவுக்கு வாங்க வேண்டும் என்று உற்சாகப்படுத்துகிறீர்கள் என்று கேட்கலாம்.
Because that gives them more flexibility in what job they can choose.
ஏனென்றால் அவர்கள் தேர்வு செய்ய வேண்டிய வேலையிலே அவர்களுக்கு நல்ல
And I've seen in these other cases how much these poor people suffer because their parents didn't bother about it.
See,
I'm not saying education is to be our God any more than money should be our God.
பணம் நம்முடைய தேவனா இருக்கக்கூடாதுன்னு சொல்வதை போல படிப்பு நம்முடைய தேவனா இருக்கக்கூடாது.
But I don't believe that you're spiritual if you just finish 10th standard and stop.
பத்தாம் வகுப்போடு கூட முடித்து விட்டு பட்டினிகிறதா நீங்கள் ஆவிக்குள்ள நான் சொல்லவில்லை.
These are all crazy ideas people have.
இவையெல்லாம் ஜனங்களுக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய விசித்திரமான கருத்துக்கள்.
And usually the people who say that are the people who could never pass beyond 10th standard themselves.
இப்படி சொல்லுறவங்க யார் என்றால் தாங்களாவே 10th வகுப்பு தேறாதவங்க தான்.
So I'm not talking about that.
அதை குறித்து நான் பேசவில்லை.
But I say that God decides the size of your circle.
உங்களுடைய வட்டத்தின் அளவை தேவன் தான் தீர்மானிக்கிறார்.
By number of factors.
பல காரணங்கள் உண்டு.
Over which you had no choice.
உங்களுக்கு அதன் மீது கட்டுப்பாடு இல்லை.
One was the standard of living into which you were born in your parents' home.
உங்களுடைய பெற்றோர்களிடத்திலே நீங்கள் பிறந்தீர்களே அந்த குடும்பத்தினுடைய வாழ்க்கை தரம்.
You didn't choose that.
நீங்கள் அதை தீர்மானிக்கவில்லை.
Second, the amount of intelligence God gave you when you were born, which also you didn't choose.
நீங்கள் பிறக்கும் பொழுது தேவன் உங்களுக்கு கொடுத்த புத்தி கூர்மை அதை நீங்களாக தேர்வு செய்யவில்லை.
These are usually the two factors that determine how much you get educated and what type of financial circle you have today.
வழக்கமாக இந்த இரண்டு காரணங்கள் தான் எப்படிப்பட்ட படிப்பு உங்களுக்கு கிடைக்கிறது இப்பொழுது பொருளாதார ரீதியில் எப்படி இருக்கு என்பதை தீர்மானிக்கிறது.
I didn't choose these two in my life and none of you chose it in your life either.
இந்த இரண்டு காரணங்களை நான் தேர்வு செய்யவில்லை அதே போல நீங்களும் இந்த இரண்டு காரணங்களை தேர்வு செய்யவில்லை.
The Christian is one who says, Lord, you chose that. And I believe that if God had allowed me to be born in one of the poorest villages in India and I didn't know a word of English,
இந்திய தேசத்திலே மிகவும் ஒரு ஏழையான ஒரு கிராமத்திலே தேவனை பிறக்க அனுமதிப்பார்கள் நான் ஒரு சிறு குடிசிலே வாழ்வதற்கு அதே விதமாக சந்தோஷமா இருந்தது.
Because my happiness has not come in the size of my house.
ஏனென்றால் என்னுடைய சந்தோஷம் என்னுடைய வீட்டின் அளவை பொறுத்தது அல்ல.
I just accept the circle God put around me.
And
because he's made it today sufficient that I can take care of my needs, I don't need to depend on anyone.
இன்னைக்கு இன்றைக்கு என்னுடைய தேவைகளை நான் சந்தித்துக் கொள்ள தக்கதாக என்னை வைத்திருக்கிறபடினால நான் யாரையும் காத்திருக்க தேவையில்லை.
So we don't run after these things. We accept the circle God placed around us.
தேவன் நம்மை வைத்திருக்கிற அந்த வட்டத்தை நாம் ஏற்றுக்கொள்வோம்.
And within that circle we seek to bless other people and serve them.
அந்த வட்டத்துக்குள்ளாக நாம் மற்ற மக்களுக்கு பணி செய்தவர்களை ஆசீர்வதிக்க விரும்புகிறோம்.
So we have to recognize these are two gods.
இவர்கள் இரண்டுமே தேவர்கள் என்பதை நாம்
And you see today how much Christendom is following and worshipping Mammon.
இன்றைக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய கிறிஸ்தவம் எந்த அளவுக்கு உலகத்தை சேவிக்கிறது என்பதை நீங்கள் பாருங்கள்.
All the begging for mammon that goes on in prayer letters and television and everything. It is the worship of Baal. And where is the Elijah who says, if Baal is God's servant, they've all been silenced by the devil.
எல்லாரும் பிசாசினாலே அமைதியாக்கப்பட்டு விட்டார்கள்.
How does it, supposing the devil finds a fiery preacher as a young man,
வாலிபனாய் இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு பிரசங்கியா அக்னியாய் பிரசங்கிக்கிறார் என்று பிசாசு பார்க்கிறான்.
He'll get some rich fellow to stuff money into his mouth.
ஒரு பணக்காரன் வந்து இவருடைய வாயிலே பணத்தை போட்டு திணிக்க வைத்து விடுகிறான்.
What can you speak when money is stuffed in your mouth?
வாயிலே பணம் நிறைந்து காணப்படும் பொழுது என்ன பேச முடியும்?
Quiet.
என்னதான் அசைந்தாலும் வாயில் இருந்து சத்தம் வருவதில்லை.
The devil knows how to silence people.
எப்படி தன்னை அமைதிப்படுத்துவது என்பதை பிசாசு அறிந்திருக்கிறான்.
It's happened.
நடந்திருக்கிறது.
It's happened in numerous places in India.
பல இடங்களில் இந்திய தேசத்தில் நடந்திருக்கிறது.
So we have to see these very clearly as two gods.
ஆகவே இது இரண்டும் இரண்டு தேவர்களைப் போல இருக்கிறது என்பதை நாம்.
And that's why money must have no power over me.
பணத்திற்கு என் மீது எந்த ஒரு வல்லமையும் சக்தியும் இருக்க கூடாது.
Let me ask you.
உங்களை கேட்கிறேன்.
Does Vishnu or Rama or Krishna or Ganesh have any power over you?
Vishnu or Rama or Krishna or ungal meedhu sakthi irukkada?
Of course you say no.
Illa illa nu solli.
There's no difference between that and money and mammon.
Padathirkum ulaga kodukku vyathasam illai.
If it has power over you,
ungal meedhu sakthi
kodukku, it will hinder you from serving the Lord.
Devudey vaathi pesudhu.
You can earn 100,000 rupees a month and have no money, have no power over you. Or you can earn 500 rupees a month and money can have power over you. As I said, it's not a question of how much you earn. It's not a question of whether you own a cycle or a scooter or a car. It's ultimately, it's something only God and you know. I don't believe any of you know whether I love money or not. My wife, who's lived with me for 37 years, she doesn't know. Only God knows and I know. And I'll tell you honestly what I've seen in myself. I have seen that the love of money is so deeply rooted in the flesh that I am battling it even today. Because it's like an onion. You peel off one layer and say, I finished with it. And then some other situation comes, you find it's there. You peel off that and say, at last I have finished with it. And then you come on to some other situation, you find it's there. So my only hope is to reduce the size of this onion as I grow older. In Jesus there was no onion, it was zero. I want to get there. I haven't got there yet. But I'm determined to get it as thin as possible before I leave this earth. And I'll tell you that God's tested me by giving me little. And now He's tested me by giving me much. So I see it's all a test. A little was a test, much is a test. And I have to say, now Lord, what shall I do? So, you'll find that this is an area in which you really have to keep devoted. You know, some of you can start very well when you're young. I don't know what you'll be like 40 years from now. I hope you'll keep peeling that onion till the day Jesus comes. It's not only in the area of money. Purity towards women. That's another onion. I don't believe any of us have come to the place where we can look at a woman the way Jesus looked at her. Are these things important? These are some of the main things Jesus spoke about. He didn't speak about doctrine in the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke about the love of money in Matthew chapter 6. He spoke about anger in Matthew chapter 5. And lusting with the eyes. And he said, if you listen to these words of mine and do them, you'll build a house which will never collapse. That's the message which Christendom needs and is not being preached. Today we have all this fancy preaching with all this psychology and all that. It's all the way the devil leads people into this, that and the other, just so long as they don't preach discipleship. There are so many Christian groups preaching all types of fantastic things. Which the study in Bible schools and Bible colleges and seminaries and all that. There's so many words being used nowadays, half of them I don't even understand. I can understand what Jesus said, but I can't understand what these fellows are saying. I know what Jesus meant when He said, if I want to follow Him, I have to deny myself and take up my cross every day. If I want to be His mouthpiece, I must control my tongue. If I want to have true riches, I must be faithful with money and faithful with material things. That I can understand. And that's all you need to understand, brother. It means I shouldn't get into debt. You must try your best by God's grace never to get into debt. I don't mean borrowing to build a house. See, a debt is where one side you have taken money, the other side of the balance there's nothing to show. If you have taken money from a bank and you got a house there, there's no debt there because you got some, the balance is equal. Or you took a loan from a bank and you bought a car, that's equal.
But
you took a loan from a bank and spent it on your wedding, what is there now? There's nothing there.
Or
you went on a vacation,
holiday.
That's a debt. That's a debt. Or you wanted to buy some more extra clothes or eat better food or something like that. You know, we have an obligation to educate our children, that I'd say it's okay even to take a loan to educate your children.
Because
there is something there. They have got the ability to earn, to repay that. Or you take a loan to start a business because there's an ability there to repay that.
But
you got to make sure that it is not beyond your ability. Debt. We must owe no man anything. I believe that a man who is in debt and is not making an effort to repay that debt should never be an elder in any of our churches. How can he preach, owe no man anything, if he's not making any effort to repay himself? We have to give back all money we have cheated people from. It's very important, like Zacchaeus did. If you have cheated the railways, go and buy some tickets and tear it up. Wherever we have cheated people in the past, keep a clear conscience. Be faithful, be righteous with money. Be faithful with money. Be faithful with material things. Don't waste them. Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and there was so much, and he said, don't waste anything, let's gather them up. Don't have a wasteful way of life. You will not get true riches then. Now don't condemn yourself through all that you heard today. And don't judge others. It's very important. Don't think that becoming like John the Baptist, living in the jungle and all, you're faithful with money.
You don't,
it's not becoming a sannyasi or running out to the forest and becoming a hermit. But that we are not attached to these things. If God gives us the ability to have something, we use it.
But
we're not attached to those things. And I don't know how it is. But I've seen one thing, that when I listen to a man and he's got nothing to say to me from God, I can say certainly that man is not faithful with money. And he's not faithful with his mouth. That's why God is not giving him anything to bless me with. Consider yourself whether that could be the reason in your case. Now, don't condemn yourself. But say, Lord, I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm going to enjoy life. There's a wonderful verse in 1 Timothy 6, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. So we don't have to look miserable. We don't have to eat locusts and wild honey like John the Baptist. We don't go to extremes.
அங்க இப்படிப்பட்ட ஒரு கோடிக்கு நான் போய்
May God help us to be wise.
நாம் ஞானவான்களாக இருக்க முடியாது. தேவன் உதவி செய்வார்.
Let's pray.
நாம் ஜெபிப்போம்.